blessing. Our help is in the name of the Lord, who has made heaven and earth, who keepeth truth forever, and who never forsaketh the works of his own hands. Amen. Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God the Father and Christ Jesus our Lord, in communion with the Holy Ghost. Amen. Congregation, let us sing from Psalter 391 all the stanzas. When morning lights the eastern skies, O Lord, thy mercy show. On thee alone my hope relies. Let me thy kindness know. 1-4 of Psalter 391.
Thank you. congregation, we wish to read from God's holy and precious word out of the book of Psalms, thereof Psalm 48. But before that, the 12 articles of our Catholic undoubted Christian faith. I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only begotten Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Ghost, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Ghost. I believe in Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Psalm 48, a song and psalm for the sons of Korah. Great is the Lord, and greatly to be praised in the city of our God, in the mountain of his holiness. Beautiful for situation, the joy of the whole earth is Mount Zion, on the sides of the north, the city of the great king. God is known in her palaces for a refuge. For, lo, the kings were assembled, they passed by together. They saw it, and so they marveled. They were troubled and hasted away. Fear took hold upon them there, and pain as of a woman in travail. Thou breakest the ships of Tarshish with an east wind. As we have heard, so have we seen in the city of the Lord of hosts, in the city of our God. God will establish it forever. Selah. We have thought of thy loving kindness, O God, in the midst of thy temple. According to thy name, O God, so is thy praise unto the ends of the earth. Thy right hand is full of righteousness. Let Mount Zion rejoice. Let the daughters of Judah be glad because of thy judgments. Walk about Zion and go round about her. Tell the towers thereof. Mark ye well her bulwarks. Consider her palaces, that ye may tell it to the generation following. For this God is our God forever and ever. He will be our guide even unto death. Thus far.
Let us try to pray and ask for the blessing and help of the Lord. Lord of heaven and of earth, thy servant we have heard in these moments did write. We have thought of thy loving kindness, O God, in the midst of thy temple. And wilt thou give us also blessed meditations thereon? For thy long suffering over us is so very great, and we need eyes to behold it and hearts to understand it. And thy long suffering that will one day come unto an end. As we can read that thou dost say it in thy holy word, that thou hast called and won, and he has bought a piece of land and he must go to see it. And another has bought a yoke of oxen and he must go to try them. And another has married a wife and therefore cannot come. O Lord, thou knowest each and every one of our hearts. For we have so many excuses. When thou dost say, seek ye my face. For there are so many distractions in the midst of this world. This we must do, and that we must do, and thou canst wait. O Lord, that thou may look upon us in thy mercy, and do not deal with us as our many sins deserve. For there cometh a time that thou dost turn away, and that thou dost call no more, but that thou dost take thy candlestick out and remove it to another place. Oh, that thou may bind these matters upon our hearts. For thou didst say unto thy servants who were refused, go then into the highways and into the hedges, and call the lame and the poor and the maimed and the blind. Oh, compel them to come in, oh, that thou may give such in our midst. Oh, that there may also be something of that hopelessness from our own side. Those that are not able to do it, that are not able to obtain it, that have no strength, that have no wisdom, that have no righteousness, that are lost from their own sight. For them thou dost say, come in. Oh, compel them to come in, that my house may be full because there is yet room. Oh, Lord, that thou may open it unto them, that thou may show unto them that way of free and sovereign grace, that they may rejoice in the salvation of the Lord. Oh, do look upon them that do come into the fields of Boaz, there to try to glean a little in this afternoon, in this thy holy day, that are begging of thee for a few sheaves. Oh, that thou may make it known unto them that thou knowest where that they are. That thou would say unto them as thou didst say unto Ruth of old, it hath fully been shown me what thou hast done after the death of thine husband for thy mother-in-law, and how thou hast left thy native country and come unto a land that thou hast not known heretofore. Oh, that thou may command that they go not into any other field, but abide fast here by thy maidens, and that they may be encouraged to go to the waters and to drink a little. Oh, that they may receive it yet from thee in an official way, that they may know the truth of it, the validity of it, the power of it, the suitability of it, the relief of it, the joy of it, the glory of it. Oh, magnify thy name in the hearts of the poor, and grant altogether unto thy children what they stand in need of. That, oh, my, did say, I went out full, and the Lord hath brought me home again empty. And so it must become in the life of thy children, in the life of those whom thou wilt establish in thy truth, that all must be stripped away, and it must become once again a death with all that we have received in our life, that that foundation may be established. Oh, that we may be grounded and that we may be founded upon that solid rock, Christ Jesus, and that we could not do it with experiences, Oh, that they may be truly what they are. That they may be comforts in the day of comfort. But that they may not be that upon which we do place our eternal hope. But wilt thou lead us more and more outside of ourselves, that we may be given to behold him in whom thou thyself art so well pleased. O, instruct us, Lord, teach us, lead us. We are ignorant, we are foolish, we are slothful, we are unfaithful, we are guilty, we are polluted, we are corrupt. Oh, forgive all our sins, and do wash us and cleanse us in that fountain that is open for the house of David and for the inhabitants of Jerusalem for sin and for uncleanness. Oh, give us to draw nigh unto those waters by a true and a living faith. Oh, instruct the children in the days of their youth, our young people who are drawn by all the vanity of this world, and who do look for so much from this world, and which they will be bitterly disappointed. Oh, that thou may show it to them quickly. Oh, that they may see where that real treasure is, and that they may seek that treasure that is above, where Christ does sit at the right hand of God. That which is real, that which has substance, that which never dies but is eternal, that which truly gives rest and peace to the soul. Oh, that there may be a seeking with hunger and thirst after these blessed portions, even in the days of their youth, of their childhood. Help all that do instruct them, their parents in the first place, their teachers at school, and when the lessons will begin soon also in the catechism classes, the confession class. Lord, help each one, and remember us when we have become older. Because a life that goes quickly by, and there is so much to do. But oh, that thou may stop us on our mad career, and not permit us to work out our own destruction under thy holy word and truth, so that we will receive the lowest place in that eternal pit. Oh, Lord, save us. Deliver us from ourselves. Go with all that need thee in special ways. Be with all thy truly sent servants, those that labor also in our community in this day. Oh, that thou may be on their right and on their left hand in thy mercy, and all that labor in the midst of our denomination, and all that go forth in truth over the length and breadth of the whole world and upon the mission fields, also our own mission field, and give an increase in their number. Establish thy truth in the hearts of our young men, that some may be used also in thy kingdom, and that thou thyself may grant that thy kingdom may come. Remember our government and all those that rule and reign over us. Bring us back to Thy Word and to Thy testimonies. And do be with all those that mourn. Also once again in this week, as stand Thou on the right and on the left hand, and all those that recover from operations, from sicknesses, and those that suffer from serious diseases, help us in this afternoon hour. Oh, stand Thou on our right and on our left hand. Give us to feel indeed that Thou hast called us to this work, and that Thou wilt not forsake us, but that Thou hast put Thy words in our mouth, and that Thou wilt use them for the conversion of sinners, for the bringing in of Thy kingdom, and for the edification of Thy church, and for the glory of Thy holy name. For Jesus' sake, amen. While your offering is being received, we'll sing from Psalter 204 all the stanzas. O God, how good Thou art to all the pure of heart. Though life seems vain, burdened with anxious care, I groped in dark despair, till in Thy house of prayer all was made plain. We make the following announcements. Next Sunday, the catechism classes will begin for the post-high school students. Reverend DeLeo hopes to be in our midst tomorrow afternoon, so we hope to be here tomorrow morning if all is well, and the last collection today is for the Fort McLeod Building Fund, Psalter 204, all the stanzas. congregation, the words of our text for this afternoon hour can be found in that portion of God's Word which was read to you, Psalm 48, and thereof the third verse, Psalm 48, verse 3. God is known in her palaces for a refuge. So far the words of our text. God known in the palaces of Mount Zion for a refuge. First in the palaces of the natural Mount Zion. And second in the palaces of the spiritual Mount Zion. God known in the palaces of Mount Zion for a refuge. First in the palaces of the natural Mount Zion, and second in the palaces of the spiritual Mount Zion. Our text congregation speaks about palaces. A palace that is a fortress, it is a citadel, it is something that was very common in the times that the Bible was written. That was for the defense of the cities. What city is this? We do not read the name of this city, actually. But we read here Mount Zion, and we know together that upon Mount Zion was situated, it was built the city of Jerusalem. And what do we read? The psalmist says, he says, beautiful for situation. The joy of the whole earth is Mount Zion on the sides of the north, the city of the great king. The psalmist has great things, children. Hear how the psalmist is speaking about Mount Zion. He has very great things to say about this city. That is above every city that he can speak about in the entire world. He says that it is the joy of the whole earth. Speaks about its palaces, about its fortresses, its forts, that is how that it defended itself. He speaks about its height. It says beautiful for situation. The word actually means elevation, it means height. Beautiful for height, beautiful for situation. He says it is the joy of the whole earth. We would say that today, and then what would you think of such a city? Say, that city, such a beautiful city, it is the joy of the whole earth. And you can imagine in our days, then there would be tourists. They are going to see. They want to see what it is that everyone is marveling about this city. But is that so? We do not read this in the Bible. We do not know who the author of this psalm is. Maybe that was David. Maybe it was Solomon, but maybe this psalm was written also later. But Jerusalem, no matter who has written it, it was written in a time that Jerusalem was certainly, because there was no time, that Jerusalem in and of itself was a city that could be compared to the great cities that are in the earth. It was built, it says, on Mount Zion. But what was Mount Zion? That was not a very great mountain. If you would go out here to the west a little bit, and you come to the foothills before the mountains, then some of them, they are about the same height, about 2,500 feet above sea level. Jerusalem, that was built on a small plateau. And so the psalmist, he is speaking about its height. If this was indeed in David's time, then Jerusalem was only about 40 acres. Read that Solomon, he has expanded Jerusalem, but he has only expanded it to be about, we have read, about 160 acres. What is that? A quarter section of land? You know what that is? So that city in Solomon's time, most of that then became that Temple Mount. Thus, that was not one of the great expanded cities that could be found in the midst of the world. Jerusalem was also a city that was scoffed at. The enemies of the Lord, they like to mock with Jerusalem. Rabshakeh, he came with his mighty army against the city. And he is mocking with them. Tobias and Balak, they're going to build the walls again. If a fox climbs over the walls, they're all going to fall down. Oh, then they are mocking. And with that little city, Naaman the Syrian is coming to be healed. Gavash in the Jordan. Then he is angry. Are not Abana and Pharpar rivers of Damascus better than all the waters of Israel? Oh no, the city of Jerusalem, that was not a city in and of itself, that could boast against all the great cities, the metropolises that were in this world. It is actually just the opposite. Because we read how the kings of Israel trembled. The king of Assyria has gathered himself around Jerusalem. Then we can read that Hezekiah rent his clothes. We read of the Ammonites, the Moabites, and their allies. They have come against that city. What do we read of Jehoshaphat? That Jehoshaphat, he feared Jerusalem. Oh, Jerusalem, that was no match for all the enemies that could come against them. That is why Jehoshaphat, he said unto the Lord, we have no might. We have no might against that great company that cometh against us. And that was true. You can understand why those enemies mocked. You can understand why those enemies, they say, give up the battle. Don't fight against the king. Because then you will be destroyed. You must open your gates and let us in, because we are going to overcome you anyway. But what does our text say? It says God is known in her palaces or a refuge. Where did Hezekiah go? You know that, boys and girls? Where did Hezekiah go? In his fear. We read he rent his clothes, covered himself in sackcloth, and he went where? Went unto the house of the Lord. God is known in her palaces for a refuge. The mightiest man in all of that kingdom, the king himself, is laying prostrate before the Lord. As a man who is helpless, as a man who has no strength, as a man who has no wisdom, he does not know what to do. He does not know how that this shall turn out. God is known in her palaces for a refuge. Where did Jehoshaphat go? When he feared. Well, we read he gathers the men of Judah together. And with them all together, he goes up into the house of the Lord. God is known in her palaces for a refuge. And what did they then experience? What did they experience in their distress? What did they experience then in their anguish? What did they find? when they were in themselves completely perplexed, and when they did not know what to do, and they are laying there before the Lord, what do we read of Hezekiah? The Lord, he sends unto him a servant, sends unto him the prophet Isaiah. And he is sent unto him with the word of the Lord. And Isaiah says to Hezekiah, you shall not be afraid of that enemy. Do not fear them. They have blasphemed me. And I am going to send a blast upon them. And they are going to return into their own land. And there they are going to fall by the sword in their own land. So it happened. Oh, in the middle of the night, an angel of the Lord, he is coming to slay that army, 185,000 men. And behold, in the morning, they are all dead corpses. God is known in our palaces for a refuge. And Jehoshaphat, he is there going up with the men of Judah into that house of the Lord. And the Lord is also sending his prophets. When that cry comes up into the ears of the Lord of Sabaoth, did your cry ever also come up unto the ears of the Lord? And then the Lord, he is sending his prophet Jehaziel. Jehaziel comes to encourage that king in the midst of his perplexities and in all of his dilemma. And he says unto the king, fear not. Battle that is not yours. The battle is mine. You will not have even to fight in this battle. So it happened. Because the Lord, he sent ambushments. And boys and girls, those armies, the Moabites, the Ammonites, Syrians, they began to fight against each other. Then they have forgotten all about Judah. And they began to slay each other until that ground that is covered with blood. God is known in her palaces for a refuge. By whom? Well, you see, he is known by the persons in that palace. That is right. Say they are the mighty men in the palace. They were men who, despite the office and the position that they had, that they were given to feel something of their weakness, given to feel something of their lack, their inability, their helplessness. And then God was known by them in that palace. But there is more. Because we read here further, for lo, the kings were assembled, they passed by together, they saw it, and so they marveled. They were troubled and hasted away. Fear took hold upon them there, and pain as of a woman in travail. Thus it was not only that those who were in the palaces, but it was those who were on the outside of the palaces. It was the enemies of the Lord. Oh, what did Satan say about Job? Oh, God, he had set a hedge about him. No one can touch him. That was true. Is that not what the enemies also have seen? And so the author of this psalm, he is writing it. Those enemies, they pass by it. They are looking at it. They are afraid. Oh, it is a city, a people, who have a refuge. They have a God. They have one they go to. They have someone who takes care of them. But we read of the king of Syria. He says to his own men, he says, which of you is for Israel? Who of you is a traitor? Because every time I go with my ambushments, they know exactly where I am. Some of you is telling the enemy where that I am. Then comes that voice, no king, there is no traitor here. But there is in the camp of Israel a man. He is a prophet of the Lord. That prophet of the Lord, he is telling the king of Israel the things that you are whispering in your bedchamber. Because the God of that people, the God of that people he knows, and the God of that people, he is caring for that people. So they saw it. So they marveled. They were troubled and hasted away. Beautiful for situation, the joy of the whole earth is Mount Zion on the sides of the north. Thus, why, children? Why? Why does the psalmist speak in such a way? You see, that city that is not a glamoring great city of this world, but he has so high things to say about that city of Jerusalem. How is that possible? It is because, he says, it is the city of the great king. Oh, he has chosen to dwell there as a special residence. He has chosen to take up that place as the place of his own dwelling place, to own that people as his own, and to watch over, to care for, and to protect that people. God is known in our palaces for a refuge. And when those enemies will come, and they will gather, and that people will fear, then they can never overcome them. Oh, young people, you will say, but they did because they brought them to Babylon. That is true. That is true. Say, did the Lord forget them then? Oh, no. Oh, no. He watched over them even in that land, and he brought them back. What does Isaiah say? Oh, Assyria, the rod of mine indignation, you are a rod in my hand. You are a staff in my hand. That is that I may punish my own people. But do not think, O Assyria, that you are going to fulfill your own thoughts, because it is in your heart to destroy, but it is in my heart to chastise. And I will use you as a rod. I will use you to punish them, but I am going to deliver them out of your hand, and I am going to destroy you. God is known in her palaces for a refuge. Say, that was then. That was for that natural city. We see in our second thought that this is but a picture. This is but a type. That God is known also in the spiritual Mount Zion as a refuge. What is a refuge? Literally, the word means to be a high place. That is a very secure height. That is a retreat, a stronghold, a place where the enemy cannot touch you, where the enemy cannot reach you. He is further than they are able to come. Serves the same purpose as a shelter. Shelter may not be a high place, but it is something that is still sheltering from an enemy, from something, some danger. Thus we read that that the mountains, they are a refuge for the wild goats, and the rocks, they are a refuge for the conies. They don't need even to be high, but the crevices of those rocks, the conies, those little animals, they could go in there and hide from their enemies, from birds, and so on. Isaiah, he prophesies of the coming of Christ. And he says that there shall be a tabernacle in the daytime from the heat, and for a place of refuge, and for a covert from the wind and from the rain. Refuge. So the children of Israel, they had also to set certain cities that they may be cities of refuge, that those who were in danger, those who were being pursued by the avenger of blood, that they may flee unto the cities of refuge, and there they may receive a proper trial, a proper judgment, that they would not be destroyed before that the truth was known. God is known in her palaces for a refuge. That is a wonder. God. Would we flee to Him? To flee to God for a refuge? Did the children of Israel, when they were standing before Mount Sinai, did they flee unto God for refuge? Is that not a wonder? That man, he is said here to flee to Him instead of fleeing away from Him? Or if man was forced to take that forbidden fruit in that garden, he was forced to do it, then we could understand it. Because then the Lord, He would not hold him responsible for what he had done. But now it was his own will. It was his own free will. It was his own choice. His act of rebellion against the Lord. Should such a man flee unto God? Would God be known unto such a people for a refuge? A refuge from what? From the consequences of their own evil and wicked deed against Him, which they knew was coming beforehand, as it was said unto him, in the day that thou eatest, thou shalt surely die. Shall God himself then be a refuge to protect that people who have rebelled against him knowingly, willingly? How great? How great is the long-suffering of God? How is that possible? Congregation, the time of God, we can speak about it that way, goes back so much further than our time. It goes back so much further than the time of man. It goes back all the way into eternity. Can I fathom that? What is that? Eternity. No beginning. And now in that eternal good pleasure for the Lord to love His own, to choose His own, then it is not possible that love, that everlasting love, that is diminishing one iota, It is not possible that that everlasting love that is now falling away, even because of sin, God's church, that is that spiritual Jerusalem, what kind of city is that? Is that now a city? Is that now a people that is envied by this world? Is that now a great, great people that this world envies and desires to come to see, to speak to that people, the people of the Lord? And the Bible calls them a remnant. Not a remnant is children. Your mother is sewing, and she takes a piece of cloth, and she will use that, make you a nice skirt, girls. She will sew that, and then there are pieces. Say, that's garbage. They're just little. They give them to you to play with, and when you are done, throw them away, because it is not worth anything to her. They are the remnants. Do you know what we read in the Bible? God's church that is called a remnant. That is, in comparison to all this world, just a small group of people. And that is a people that are despised by this world. So we would say that it is just the opposite of what the psalmist he is here saying. There are those that desire to destroy that remnant. That remnant has enemies. They have enemies in the world. That remnant has enemies even in their own heart. Sin. That is looking for an opportunity. That flesh. Looking for an opportunity to tempt. To bring that people down. To destroy them. That is the greatest enemy. What do they experience? They experience weakness. Weakness. Just like Hezekiah. Just like Jehoshaphat. He tried to make a tower. Out of what? Fortress. I will protect myself. Good intentions, sincerity, faithfulness. What happens? It is not sufficient. It is not enough. And what is now the fear? So often, like Hezekiah, like Jehoshaphat, oh, this enemy, I have no might against it. And this enemy that is yet going to overcome me. You know what the Roman Catholics say, young people? They say that the Lord first sanctifies, and that sanctification becomes the basis for justification. Say Christ does that, indeed, but sanctification, he first cleanses. And because the people are now clean, therefore they are justified, therefore they are forgiven. That is like to say that the Lord, he strengthens the walls of Jerusalem, and he makes the walls impenetrable. The Lord does that. And therefore, because those walls are impenetrable, therefore, that enemy can never come in. Is that the way it was? See, that is not the way it was. No, that city in and of itself that remained comparably weak, that city in itself could not stand against that enemy. No, it is the Lord alone who is going to receive the glory for this. But we want to sing first. 159. 1, 2, and 3. O God, regard my humble plea. I cannot be so far from Thee, but Thou wilt hear my cry. When I by trouble am distressed, then lead me on the rock to rest, that higher is than I. 1, 2, and 3 of Psalter 159. God is known in her palaces for a refuge. Do we also know this refuge congregation? We have lately spoken to you about refuge-taking faith. That is, versus the full assurance of faith. That full assurance of faith, that is a very blessed thing. And yet it is something that is not absolutely necessary for the salvation of our soul. That full assurance of faith, that is for the comfort of the soul. And there are many that go through this world and who actually never receive it. But now that refuge-taking faith is different. Because refuge-taking faith cannot be missing in our life. That is now the faith by which our soul is saved. And this faith, God's word says, is known by the true church. God is known in her palaces for a refuge. We do not say that an infant cannot be saved. That is possible. But that is in a way that the Lord Himself knows. We speak here about the normal way. Paul, he says we have a strong consolation who have fled for refuge to lay hold of that hope that is set before us. God is known in her palaces as a refuge. You say, how can I know? If I know something about that refuge-taking faith, that is an important question. That is a vital question. Thus, we have to ask our soul if it has ever fled unto Christ for a refuge. Then in the first place, there has to be an enemy. Because you understand, as the Lord Jesus said, the whole need no physician, but they that are sick. Well, those who have no enemies also do not need a refuge. Thus, has sin ever become exceeding sinful? That it has become our enemy? In second place, that enemy that has to have become too strong for us. Children, young people, if someone will come against you, will threaten you, your life, what would you do, young people? What would you do? Those of you who are a bit stronger, you say, I will fight him. I will overcome him. And then there are others, they say, no, I don't think I can do that because I am too weak for that. So what would you do? So I would run away. That is right. So there are two things. There are two things that we do. Then we have an enemy, and that enemy comes to take our life. Either we fight or we flee. And what happens, boys and girls, if the Lord gives to us a new heart, you ask for that, right? The Lord gives to you a new heart, then you get an enemy. Then sin that becomes to you exceeding sinful, then it becomes your enemy. Then you see, that is what is going to destroy me. And what do? Well, then you begin to fight. That is what it means to enter into the church militant. That is the army of God. It is fighting the enemy of God. Are you in that army? You begin to fight. But you know that as long as we are fighting, and as long as we view ourselves to be stronger than that enemy, what do we not need? Said, then we do not need a refuge. That is right. That is right. What has now to happen? Do you see why Christ is not the first one in the life of God's people? In regeneration, it is because we have too high an opinion of ourselves. Our intentions may be good, but the Lord Jesus said to Peter, the spirit is willing, and the flesh is weak. That is now what takes a little time, typically, to learn. That my flesh is weak. And that now what my heart sincerely desires in the life of God's true people is now the burden, that which I am not able to fulfill. Then we begin to cry out. Then we begin to say, woe is me, I am undone. Because I thought that I would become a good person. I thought that I would live a good life. Do they live a good life, young people? We hope so. But we say sometimes God's children, they do less sin and they become a greater sinner. It is not the outward things as much as it is the inward things. And then the fears that is now going one day to overcome me, that I am not able to conquer it, that it is going to be my eternal destruction. You know what happens, young people? You have that man that has come against you, and you begin to fight, and then you find out that hidden in the bushes are his friends. So now you have more coming against you. That is the way it is. Because then a man sees that it is actually the law of God, every commandment of that law, that is testifying against him. Then he begins to see that there is a curse that is attached to that law. And that curse that is following me, does that curse follow you? Then he begins to see that God himself is the maker of that law. And that God, he is holy, and that God is righteous, and actually that God is himself against me. Then it is death death that is following that people. Oh, how many enemies are gathering together in the life of that people. So indeed they are crying out, oh Lord, I have no might against this great company that cometh against me. What then do they begin to do? Well, they begin, boys and girls, to try to run away. Now they begin to try to flee because they see they can never overcome those enemies. Do you know what the problem is? They don't know where to go. Say, what do you mean they don't know where to go? We've heard where to go since we were just little, right? Say, where do we go? Well, we go to the Lord Jesus. All that is right. Do you know if the Lord would convert you? Then you would not see that anymore. So is that possible? That is possible, and that is the reality. That is what Bunyan tries to show too. What did Christian have in his hand? He had the Bible in his hand. Think he has not read that from the first to the last? And that evangelist, he says, you must flee from the wrath to come. That he knows. But he says, sir, I don't know where to go. Have they heard about Christ? Your ears, sure. Many times. But that mediator, he was never revealed to their soul. He was never opened up to them. There is a great difference. Great difference. And then you watch that man, Bunyan says, and he falls into that slough of despond. He says, it is impossible, impossible, impossible. And he despairs of ever being saved. Congregation, refuge takers, they are fleers. They are fleers in their fears, in their despondencies. And now what does the Lord have to do when they do not know where to go? Well, the Lord says to that people, stay in my word. Stay in my word. Read that word. Why? Because if you stay in that word, it will be shown to you. It will be shown to you where that you have to go. Is that not right, people of the Lord? Is that not true? The house of the Lord, under the preaching, the reading of that word. And what is then the Lord doing? That people who are seeking to flee and who do not know where to go. Oh, then one day the Lord is coming over. One day the Lord is opening that word of God. Do you know what that word of God has? That word of God has a divine authority. A divine authority that comes with the speaking of the Spirit of the Lord to your soul. The words that I say, which are my own, they cannot do it. But the words that the Lord says are from God. And your soul then receives that word as the word of the Lord with a divine authority. And what is the Lord then doing? He is opening something in that holy word that they may see. That they may see what they have never seen before. That they may hear as they have never heard before. Oh, we say that name, Jesus. Oh, that was five letters. They've heard that so often since their youth. And suddenly, They hear it as if they had never heard it in their life. That the Lord shows to them a new way. That the Lord shows to them a way outside of that broken covenant. But a man, he has to fight and fight and fight to overcome that sin. And he comes to an end of that law. Then the Lord is opening a new way. The Bible says a living way. It is, congregation, a wonderful way. It is a wonderful way. To Jehoshaphat, he is laying there. He has to die. He has to die. The enemies, they are too strong for them. And you know what the Lord says to that soul that has to die? That cannot save itself? He says, you do not need to fight in this battle. I need to fight in this battle. That is different. You do not need to fight in this battle. And he opens a struggle that has been fought. He opens a warfare that has been fought by someone that is so much stronger than I am. And he shows to that people that the meriting is all finished. That the price that is completely paid. That it is a salvation that has already been bought. It is the way of grace. A free and sovereign grace. For those who have no strength, no righteousness, no wisdom, guilty, filthy, polluted, and worthy of death. A free salvation. Or how do you think that is for that people? What do you think they will experience in their heart when they see such a way? And there is something they feel. How will they describe that to you? What happened in that moment? And they saw that new way. And they were there under the bonds of the law. Oh, they will say, I felt such a relief. Such a relief. Oh, when I saw that there was a way. That I saw that it was still possible. When I thought for sure that it was impossible, oh, they will say, how glad that I was. You understand that? How glad. Oh, the joy. The Lord, he speaks about the joy of God's salvation. That is not the superficial joy of this world. It is not the superficial joy even of a modern Christendom that are speaking even about the name of Jesus. No, it is the joy of this people. It is the joy of this people to whom that way of free and sovereign grace is opened. Then it will be a wonder, a great, great wonder that they experience in their life. What do you think about the drawing of the heart to him? Oh, then that heart begins to love Him, the blessed Son of God. Oh, then they have a desire to come into the house of the Lord, to hear His name, and to hear about that way of free and sovereign grace, and how I now also can be included in that way. Oh, they even feel something of the goodwill of God toward themselves. You say, do they have it yet? No. But the Lord, He has opened it to them. The Lord, He has shown it to me. They feel something of the favor of the Lord for their own soul. And that favor of the Lord that is humbling their soul so low before the Lord. God is known in her palaces for a refuge. Oh, the soul begins to flee to Him. It begins to flee to Him. Ask the people, are you in Him? Oh no, they say. Oh no. But it begins to flee to Him. The soul experiences this. Sees the safety. Feels the drawing. And it begins to run. Oh, every one of them, they will say to you that faith, that refuge-taking faith, that is a gift of God. Indeed, it is done by the soul. But they will say, actually, it was without effort. It was without effort. It was something that the Lord did, that the Lord gave to me, that I may believe in Him. When I saw Him, what do we read? John says, and he saw and believed. And that is what the soul says. The Lord opened it. I saw it. And my soul believed. Turning point. And that is for the first time in a man's life that they may see Him in all their wretchedness, in all their guilt, in all their impossibility. That is not something that a man forgets when he is in the bottom of that pit. And then he sees his Savior. Sees his Savior. He's not thrown out yet. He does not forget that day. Then there is a new path. Oh, it is the path of grace. It is the path of free grace. Does he never leave that path to begin to try to earn it by fighting again? He ought to fight. They have to fight to the end of their life. But now to earn it by fighting. Oh, they are sometimes going back there. And they say, oh, that is such a privilege. When sometimes, once again, the Lord, He is drawing me back. Back upon that path, that straight and that narrow way of free and sovereign grace. That is now the safety of the soul for the present. And that is now the hope of their soul for the future. And that will never be made ashamed. They'll never be made ashamed. You say, how can you say that for sure? Well, that is easy. Because that is now the mark, the sure mark of the true church. God is known in her palaces for a refuge. Is he known also in your own heart for a refuge? Amen. O Lord of heaven and of earth, open our eyes to see our enemies. Open our eyes to see our weakness. Open our eyes to behold Thee as that refuge from all sin, from all uncleanness, that we may take flight by the power of thy Spirit unto thy dear and only begotten Son, to draw near unto God for protection, for safety, for comfort, for peace, for reconciliation, for salvation. Bless thy word. Go with us in this day. Be with us also in the day of tomorrow. All thy servants who do bring thy word, do strengthen them and give the application in the heart of each and every one of us. Time is short. We go each one unto our long home. Give us this day a few moments of thoughtful meditation upon the seriousness of our journey, and that we may seek, and that we also may come into this place of refuge. That when they shall call to the mountains to fall on us, and the hills to cover us, from the face of him that sitteth upon the throne, and that we may be found in that refuge, to be forever safe and to be forever with thee. Forgive all of our many, many sins, and dismiss us with thy blessing. Humble us under thy gifts and help also. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. 387, 1 through 6. To God my earnest voice I raise, to God my voice imploring praise. Before his face my grief I show, and tell my trouble and my woe. 1 through 6 of Psalter 387. Thank you. receive the blessing of the Lord and go in peace. The Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace. Amen. Bless.